We hear again from the gospel reading of Matthew 11. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In the name of Jesus. What is our flesh trying to do? Paul describes the problem that we all know. He writes, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good." Romans 7:15. Paul would seemingly have made a terrible employee, a terrible student. He can't follow simple directions. As an employee, you could almost hear his boss coming up and asking him, "Why did you ship the boxes to Phoenix? I told you to ship them to Atlanta." And then Paul would say, "I don't understand my own actions. I wanted to ship the boxes to Atlanta, but I did not. I shipped them to Phoenix, which is the very thing I hate. Nothing good dwells in me," says Paul, Romans 7:18. "That is, nothing good dwells in my flesh. For what I will to do, I cannot do in my flesh." And so in any real situation, it would be, "Paul, you're fired." But Paul, of course, in real life, surely was not a bad employee. He made tents for a living, and we might even assume then that many people would buy his tents, or he would have starved to death. And for that matter, Paul was not a bad student. He had been a first-class pupil of Gamaliel, a world-class preeminent teacher of the Pharisees. But Paul isn't talking about, obviously, his abilities as an employee or a student. He's talking about his life before the face of God. He's talking about his life in the flesh, where he is given to love the Lord his God with all his heart and all his mind and all his soul, and to love his neighbor as himself. And in this life before God and as a servant to his neighbor, Paul says, "I don't understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but the very thing that I hate, that's what I do." Paul is describing, as he calls it here, our life in the flesh. But we can remember elsewhere he speaks of this as our life of the old Adam or the old man, our life of sinful flesh. Elsewhere he speaks of it as our life of the outer man. He's describing our life of flesh as being so given over to sin that it cannot be reformed, improved, or rescued. We want to think our life of flesh is somehow able to be reformed. There's somehow a little spark of good, and we just need to fan that spark into a flame. And this would mean that the answer to sin is simply to receive the right instruction, the right manual, so that we would know how not to do it anymore, or to be coached out of it. Maybe like a baseball pitcher being coached out of a bad throwing motion. But Paul is saying that our life of flesh is so given over to sin that even when we're trying to do good, we do evil. So what is our flesh trying to do? Our flesh is trying to justify itself. That is the essence of our sin. Our flesh, when caught in sin, is trying to make up for it by doing outwardly good works to redeem itself. It's trying to save itself by the law, so that even when sinning against God's law, we try to use the works of law to improve ourselves out of it. Our flesh is using the law even to point to others and show their sin, as if accusing others of sin somehow rescues us from our own. Our flesh, when caught in sin and seeing the salvation freely given by Christ Jesus, does not want to be justified by Jesus, but wants to justify self. In this way, turning from the salvation given by Jesus, as if salvation is something that we can accomplish on our own, we'll just try a little bit harder. What is our flesh trying to do? It is trying to save itself by works, trying to justify self. And this sinfulness is so deep-seated, so much at our very origin, that we cannot rescue ourselves from it. When we ask the question, what is our flesh trying to do? The answer never comes out good. So, what is Jesus doing? And that's the question for us to ask. He is the Savior. We are those he is saving. He's the justifier. We are the ones being justified. He's the merciful one. We are the ones receiving mercy. Jesus turns our eyes from our flesh. He has us look outside of ourselves to him and his grace. And in seeing Jesus, we finally find rescue from sinful flesh. Come unto me, says Jesus, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Matthew 11:29. Jesus, we notice, does not make any appeal to our flesh. He doesn't give us his law in order to tell us how to improve our life of flesh, how to live better, how to reform our flesh, how to rescue it. Jesus gives us his law in order to tell us that our life of flesh is over. It is to be daily repented of. It is to be daily put to death in the water and promise of baptism. The heavy yoke of law finally grinds our life of flesh to nothing. No hope, no justification, no rescue. And that's when the law has done its proper work. Now is the new yoke, the yoke of Jesus, the yoke of the gospel, the yoke easy and light, gentle and lowly, and giving not burden but rest. It's a yoke which is really then no yoke at all. It is Jesus redeeming the sinner with his own blood and calling us out of works into faith. It is Jesus speaking not the law, but grace, so that being done with our life of flesh, we now are daily given our life of faith. It is Jesus putting us not under burden, for that is the work of the law, and no life will ever come from the law, but putting us then under grace, for that is the gift of the gospel. And in the gospel, there is only gifts and life. And this gospel is only gift. It is not according to our works, not according to our efforts or understanding, as if we can grab onto the gospel with the wisdom of our flesh or the understanding of our minds. Matthew 11:25, at that time Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. So the gospel is there standing as only gift given to the sinner as a parent giving gifts to a little child. And this is then what Jesus is doing. He sees us in our life of flesh, and he doesn't try to improve the sinful flesh into somehow being strong enough to bear the heavy yoke of the law. But he gives us the law to daily drown the sinful flesh in repentance. Then he is daily putting you and me under the yoke of the gospel, which is so light and gentle that it is no yoke at all, but only gifts. In this yoke of the gospel, this life of faith, this life living in grace, you, me, our children, we find rest for our souls. In the name of Jesus, amen.